Mitch asked me, he said, you still nervous, huh? After all these years, I said, Mitch, yes. It's just something that you can't get used to for some reason. And I'm very watchful of how I come across with God's word. And that's something that I don't take very lightly, because you can easily cause people to stray and cause wars and strife and anger and bitterness. And that's something I want to be careful of, what comes out of my mouth.
Amen. And I guess I have a lot of time, right? Y'all are in for it today. I think I'm gonna take my time since the pastor's not here. I love this. Especially when you tap into my mind just get going. So just watch me, y'all. Got to keep up with me when I'm talking today. But for the past several times I've been speaking, we've been talking about God's creation and the wonderful and beautiful things that God had intended for the earth and for us to have. And it's amazing that we're talking about health and eating right. And somehow I happen to come across what I need to talk to today about God's creation of the plants. It's amazing. But to recap, give you a recap of what we talked about last time, and just to bring up to speed what we're going to talk about today, is that in the beginning that God said in the beginning that he, let me start with my scripture. Let me go with my scripture. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 11th and the 12th verse. Genesis, the 12th chapter, and the 11th and the 12th verse. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yield its seeds, and the fruit tree yields fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The 12th verse says, "And the earth brought forth grass yielding and herbs yielding seeds after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good." You may be seated by the word of God. In the beginning, that it says that God created the world. He created the world, created this world with a bunch of water around it. And the Bible says that God said, let there be light. So there was a sunlight. And then he created light, it separated the light from the day. And then the Bible goes on and said that God created the waters, caused the water to separate from the waters, which when he said that, the waters actually separated from the bottom water, and which caused a firmament to rise up, which is called a canopy, which puts the earth in sort of like a greenhouse effect. Okay? So now you can imagine now, and God also spoke and said, let the waters separate from the earth. And we're going to go into that further later on. But imagine yourself being God, and you look at the earth, and the sun is actually shining upon the water, and God sees this glimmer, this shininess, this reflect that pops off the face of the water. Now, the earth is actually ready for its next process in life. And then what it is, it's ready for life itself. Now, in this earth that God created, there will be no seasons. No spring, no summer, winter, or fall. No cold weather that we see here. But there will be a coolness brought about the earth, and we'll talk about that later on. There will be only one season only, and that's seed time and harvest time. That's it. Now, the canopy is set. The temperature is regulated and warm, the earth's diametrical temperature. The canopy will actually protect all life on earth. It will protect the plants, the trees, the insects, all and human beings as well, too, because with this canopy around the earth, what happens is the sun actually gives a violent radiation to the earth. And what the canopy was to do is the canopy was to block out the sun's radiation, but it heats up the earth. That's what it's supposed to do. So the Bible says that there on this earth there's going to be trees, grass, and plants, and bushes, and herbs, and so forth. And the Bible says there's going to be herbs, which meaning that it's going to be mints. There's going to be peppers. There's going to be garlic. And I have a cousin that smokes marijuana. And he says to his boys, around his boys, I was over his house, this was years ago. He said, God calls marijuana to come up from the ground. God created this for me and you. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. God didn't cause marijuana to come up from the ground. I said the marijuana plant was actually different from what it is now, because the plant in the creation was a different type of plant. And what happened was, over the period of time, the seeds actually fell off and mutated in the ground and caused the plant to mutate and come and up comes this weed, which is marijuana. I said what it is, and then that plant, what they did in the creation was they used that plant as an herb or some spices for their food. But now what we're using now, we use it to smoke. And what it caused us to do? Nauseating, and all caused us to lose our memories. That was not what marijuana was for. So when I explained that to him, he said, well, you know, it was for medicine. Well, that may be some other use for it, but we'll talk about that later on. So, but whenever God creates in the creation, he actually, not only does he speak, but he speaks in a command. Now, anytime that God speaks in a command, it has to happen, because he has authority over, his word takes authority over any and everything. Now, when God sees the earth, he begins a planet with life. And the reason why he has to begin with life, because the plant life is going to give life to all plants. He can't bring anything else, no animals, no insects. He can't bring anything else until he get the plant life here first, because they're going to be food to all living creatures on this earth. The animals, the insects, the bugs, it's going to be plant life. It's going to be life to all. It's going to be a source of food to all. Not only that, but no living creature have to worry about a food shortage. No living creature have to worry about being killed, because the plant life will be more than just food to them. It will be fulfilling to them. And what I mean by that is, you have it on the board here, Genesis, the first chapter and the 29th verse. Genesis, the first chapter and the 29th verse says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb of bearing seeds, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which this fruit of the tree is in yielding its seeds, to you, listen to this, to you it shall be for meat. Adam did not have to worry about killing an animal. He had no appetite for meat. Adam, nor did any animal have to worry about killing any other animal for blood or for meat, because their taste was not in their system. See, the plants, the berries, the fruits and the nuts and the berry, all the leafy things it's much more, and you have a lot of animals, y'all, that can consume a lot. They can eat a lot of food. So the food that they had in the creation had to be double or triple times than what we have today. Had to be. So when God speaks forth the plants to come forth, but when God spoke light into the world, the Bible says that God said, let there be light, and the Bible says, and it was so. But when God speaks life in the plant life, he said, let there be plant life, and what happened was, and it was so, meaning that it was good, God, the Bible says. And when God says that it's good, it means that there was no corruption. There was no flaws about it. It's good. It's good for food. It would be the fruits that they had and the nuts and the berries and the cherries and so forth. The vegetables, they all would be much sweeter than what we have today. They'll be much bigger in size. They'll give more vitamins, because the ground's going to be very neutralized and have plenty of nutrients, nutrition, and minerals. Even the plant life, even if you pluck something from the tree and you can keep it on the shelf, did you not know that if we take a banana off a tree, it would the lifespan of the apple or the orange, whatever the case may be, its lifespan is at least 5 to 7 days. But if you took it from the creation by time, because of the right environment that it was in, the bariatric chamber that it was in, and the earth environment, the lifespan of an apple and orange can last at least 3 to 4 weeks, which is great. But we lost something within that time span. So, now, I want y'all to follow me when I say this. Genesis, the 11th chapter, in the 12th verse says, "And God and the earth brought forth grass, and the herbs yielding seeds after this kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its own kind." Now, let me ask y'all a question. What actually came first? Ricky's right. The chicken or the egg? Which came first? The chicken came first. You're right. Don't answer this question. Which came first? The seed or the tree? Now think about it. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? You say the chicken came first, which is true. Which came first, the seed or the tree? If you look at it, when God speaks to the ground, he doesn't speak a seed into the ground. He speaks. When he speaks to the ground, he speaks from the root. They actually, when God spoke, there was no indication of a seed and a tree coming up from a seed. What happened was, when God spoke to the ground, what happened was all the roots begin to grow from each side and in the bottom side, and it began to grow, and they begin to formulate together, come up from the ground, and they begin to blossom and have seeds within itself. So God didn't begin with a seed. The seed was going to be in the fruit itself, or within its side itself. So, therefore, I was sharing with Jared, and I love talking to Jared, because Jared just brings out the God in me for some reason. But Jared asked me a very question. He asked me a good question. He said, "Michael, if God is God," he knows that, "God is God, then why didn't God just create everything in one day?" Which makes sense. You know, you God just snap your finger and everything is the way it is. I said, "Jared, now I want you to listen to me. I'm going to give you two answers, but the first one is easy. The second one, I want you to really follow me." I said, the first reason why God didn't create everything in one day, because what God did was each day that went by, God wanted to create a work pattern for man. 6 days shall man work, but on the seventh day man shall rest. That is the day that you render unto the Lord, and God wants us to honor that. I said the second reason is, and I hope y'all understand this when I say this. Each day that went by, God had to allow the earth that it spoke at that time to go through a process. It had to go through a recognition of its purpose in life. It had to go through a recognition of evaluating itself and said, "This is what I must do throughout the day." Let me give an example. When God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was nothing but a solid rock, just a solid rock, just a solid rock with water on top of it. Now, when God spoke and said, God says, let the earth come forth. And what happened was, there was a big catastrophic earthquake. The earth began to quake. And when it began to quake, it actually cracked on the top. And when it cracked on the top, the water began to seep down into the crevices of the earth and cause seas and rivers and oceans and lakes and rivers. It began to crack. So, and also, the water, the land actually had to build itself up to a mountain. So, therefore, it didn't just happen in just 1 hour. The earth had to get itself together within a matter of 3, 4 to 5 hours. All right. Yeah. There had to be a process that it had to go through. I also was sharing with Jared. I said, Jared, I don't believe that God, when God created all the plants and the trees and the fruits and the nuts and the berries, I don't think God fully can fill the earth with plants. I don't think he did that. I said, I think what God did was God created a percentage of plants and trees and nuts and berries. And the reason why I say that, because he had to create a potential that they supposed to grow. You may not believe me. It's okay then. Then why didn't God fill the whole earth up with people? He started with a what? A percentage of people. 1% man and 1% woman. He had to allow them to come together and unite and let their hormones come, and he put it inside of them. You be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He started with a percentage. Now, all plant life, trees, nuts, and berries, they all have seeds, and that's very important. Because plants will have seeds. The trees will have seeds in its fruits, and the plants will have seeds in itself. And what I mean by that is there's going to be the apples have apples in, within the seeds within itself. An apple generally have around 5 or 6 seeds in it today. Imagine what they had in the creation when the fruits and the nuts and the berries were bigger. It could have been possibly at least 12 to 15 seeds within the apple. And we're talking about there's plants that God's going to create that's going to have seeds within itself. We're talking about wheat. We're talking about corn that's going to have seeds within itself. So I also, my son, he's a 12-year-old kid. He was sharing with me when we was at the store. And he said, I said, Christian, how do you know that God is going to, if God created a percentage of fruits and trees, how was God going to spread the seeds across the world to finish it up? And he said to me, and this is amazing, he said, by the wind. The weather is going to actually do it. I said, yes. And I said, but what happened is there's going to be a percentage of it, a 70% of the seeds that's going to be distributed across the world is going to be by the weather. And I mean by the wind, by the lakes and the rain. They're going to distribute these seeds across the world. Have y'all ever seen those little white things that just fly around the earth? They just flying around. They get in your way. But they have a little seed inside of them. And it just carries down. And then when it falls, there's a tree that grows up. And then it grows and blossoms. And it just blows a little further. And the process just keeps going on and on across the world. There's another percentage, which is at least 19% of it is going to be done by, you may not like this, but by the birds. The birds are actually going to eat the berries and the cherries, whatever the case may be, and they're going to fly over your car and do what they need to do. But they're going to fly across the land, and they're going to spread these seeds that come out of their bottoms. But another one is, and you might not think about it, is that another way you're going to spread the seeds is by farmers. And this is why God told Adam, cultivate the earth. And he was supposed to take the seeds and plant them in the ground and create more seeds. After he would eat the fruits and the vegetables, whatever the case may be, plant them and then plant more of them. So keep in mind that the earth is actually going to be temperature. There's going to be a temperature about it. I would say, now there's a possibility, that the earth's atmosphere with this canopy around it, with the earth, the sun keeping out the radiation and heating up the earth, it is possible that the earth's temperature at the creation was at least approximately 70 degrees or 100 degrees Fahrenheit. There's a possibility. And you got to think about it. This is a big world, and there's a great possibility that the temperature was different in different areas of the earth. But also, the earth will have the sun on one side, so it will heat it up, and the other side of the earth will have the temperature will actually drop, and it could have been possibly, I'm just thinking, it could have been possibly anywhere from 60 to 70 degrees. It dropped because there's no sun on this side, and the Bible says that this earth, the side of the earth, is going to be cool. And the reason is because in Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, the Bible says that God met Adam and Eve on the what? Cool of the day. That means that when at nighttime, when the temperature dropped, then just about before day and just before night has come up and the day is getting ready to come, God actually met them on that morning. God didn't meet them once a year, once a month. God met them on a weekly basis, every day of rest. That's when he met them. It was on the cool of the day. Now, the earth will have this greenhouse effect. The temperature will be right. The water will be right. The ground will get high nutrients, high carbon dioxide. There will be, the vegetations will actually grow taller and thicker. And you ever seen in the California how the redwood trees, how they just, it is reported that some of the redwood trees stands at least 375 feet tall. And some of them are just the biggest, the width of it is 22 feet wide. And the only reason why it is because they're in the right environment, getting the right nutrients from the ground. And you can imagine some of the trees and the bushes in the creation, because we lost something during the time of the creation, how the bushes and the trees and the apples and the oranges, it's amazing how we're just not seeing what we usually see. Now, have y'all heard of something called GMO? GMO, what GMO is, it is a genetically modified organism. It is an altered genetic engineered technology or product. And what they do is they actually take the DNA from a plant and implant it into another plant to alter its DNA or its structure of the plant. And they just keep repeating the process over and over till the plant or whatever it is becomes more, newer and stronger product. It has a better design, is resistant to disease, it's enlarged, and it has a longer shelf life. Once the seed is planted in the ground, and the seed really don't say this, but I'm just going to put it in my term. The seed says, and they're trying to construct seeds that actually can survive in a flood. There's seeds that also can survive in hot storm, desert weather. They're trying to design a seed like this. But what the seed says to the ground, if it doesn't say this, but the seed, once the seed is planted in the ground, they say that the seed is supposed to say to the ground, look, I don't need all the nutrients from the ground. I don't need much water. I don't need much sunlight. The seed says, all I need to do and all they designed me to do is to grow. That's all. So, you have that picture of that corn? Now, to the left here, this was the original corn that was actually made. It's called Tenosintony. That was the original corn that was actually really made, because in the back originally when it was made, it was a part of a grass. And if you crack it open, it has little kernels on the inside of it. It was a tropical grass that grew wild. Then what they did was they took the DNA or had them to mate it with other same like plants, changing and altering its DNA. And then you have the second corn, which is in the middle. Then they kept repeating the process over and over and over and over again. And then now it's the corn that we eat today. So originally, you talk about genetically modified corn. That's just what they've been doing this for centuries. GMO is nothing different. They've been mankind been changing DNAs for over hundreds of years. Did you not know that in Hawaii, this is true, in Hawaii, they're very populated for their squash. And what happened was, and I think it's in 2014, 2015, that the squash population, they were spraying their squash with pesticides. And the pesticides was actually causing birth defects with the women. The children were coming out with heart disease. They were coming out with breathing issues and so forth. So they had to stop that. And because it was just affecting the way that they live. So what they did was they turned to GMO. And what GMO did was they started using these seeds from GMO to make the plants much bigger and stronger. But what GMO did was they injected the pesticide into the seeds. And when they did that, what happened was now if the insect were to bite off the fruit or the vegetable, whatever the case may be, or in this case the squash, it actually breaks down their inside of their intestines. So prevent them from eating their fruits. So God was speaking to the ground, And all the vegetation arose, and God was finished. So what God did was, God allowed all these things to go through his process. Even the, see, the grass might have took at least an hour. I'm just roughly thinking. It may have took at least 30 minutes or an hour for the grass to grow. And then there were some things that were still in the same process, like trees. They were still in the process of growing, and God let that grow up. And then there's some shrubs, and God let these things carry on and go through. So by the end of the day, before the next day, God looked at all creation, saw that it was finished, and God said, "It is good." And he was finished with it. Now God turns his back and faces towards the stars and the galaxies. And that's what we're going to talk about now, is space. Genesis, the first chapter, the 16th and the 9th, through the 19th verse says, "And God made two great lights. The greater light ruled the day. The lesser light ruled the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give the light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divided the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good." Now, let me ask you a question. God could have left things alone. God could have just left, gave us the sun. He could have created the world, and he could have left the moon and done nothing else, left everything else at all. Left the stars, don't create no stars. He could have left it alone. We could have been fine. But God done. But why did God create the stars? Now, two reasons why God created stars is, one is because in Genesis, the first chapter and the 14th verse, God created the stars for time and navigation. We know the day from the day and the night because of the stars, the sun and the moon. And men also going to use the stars also for traveling, you know, just to travel when they're doing ships. But let me go back and say, God, there was a man that had a conversation with God. And he came to God. He said, "God, you created man in your own image." And the man and God says, "Yes, I did." And the man said to God, "God, I can do the same. I can create man in my own image." And God says, "Oh, you can?" He says, "Yes, I can." And then God says, "Well, let's see. Let's have at it. Let's see what you can do." And he says to God, you don't mind?" And God said, "No, I don't mind. Go ahead and do this." But God says, "Do you mind if I do one thing?" God, he says, "What is it, God?" "Would you mind?" God says, "Would you mind if I watch?" He said, "No, by all means, go ahead and watch." So the man says, "Okay." And then he goes into his barn, comes out, and he looks at his plants. He says, "Oh, the first thing I need is I need dirt." So the man goes in his barn again and pulls out a shovel and begins to dig in the ground. And God says, "Stop, stop." He said, and the man says, "What? What's wrong?" And then God says, "Get your own dirt." Man, for years, has always interfered with the process of God. We eat food that's processed, all this artificial flavoring and all this stuff. It's just killing us. So I wanted to add that because I skipped that over. I wanted to go back and add that. But God created stars that stood and stars that orbit other stars and stars that orbit other stars. But it looks like the stars are not moving, but they are. Everything out there moves. Everything rotates. Everything moves. It's just moving at a distance, but you just don't see it. But it was perfect in its place, and there was nothing else to alter it. The universe will remain in its domain until God speaks it out of his domain. So, now, I said all that to say this. What's out there? Did God create this vast universe, this vast space with nothing out there? Are we alone? Or are there aliens out there? Or all the trips to the planets and all these satellites or solar system that we have just not satisfying us enough? We still want to know more. Did you not know that in 1973, I was sharing with my Aunt Barbara the other day, that in 1973, the government, NASA, spent $25 billion to send an astronauts to space just to land on the moon to find out how the moon evolved. It's amazing. Man can research and explore all they want. That's all they can do, is they're going to explore into space. And they say that scientists have written that the universe has caused by a big bang, and there's energy that caused electrons and protons to collide together. Man has evolved from fish. Man came from apes and learned how to walk upright. And any of y'all ever been abducted by the aliens? None of y'all have been abducted? Okay. But man believe there's something out there. Is there something out there? Now, I'm going to ask y'all, we're going to ask six people what's out there, and then I'm going to ask you all what's out there. Okay. First of all, we're going to ask the scientists. The scientists, for years, have been sending flash signals out into space, sending sound out into space, and they heard nothing. In 1977, the scientists really, really wanted to find out what was out there in space. So what they did was they got together and they created an album. I don't know if you have that picture of the album up there. If not. They created an album and they called it the Golden Record. And what they did was, and this is true, they got an album, two albums together. And they put on this album, first of all, they put on their 55 greetings from space, 55 greetings from Earth. They also put on this album 115 analog photographs of the human anatomy, a father hugging his son, pictures of planets, Earth, and other planets, and people eating. They also put on the album 12 minutes of sound of nature from Earth. I'm talking about waves. I'm talking about laughter. They put on the sounds of crickets, chimpanzees, thunder, rain, footsteps. I don't know why they put footsteps on there. A baby crying, kissing, people kissing, and a married couple. They also put on this album 90 minutes of music. I mean, they put Chuck Berry on there. Johnny Be Good. Don't that bring back memories, Mitch? Johnny B. Good on this album. They put down Elvis Presley on this album. They even put Sounds of Whales on this album. And they also put Bach on this album. Because they said that if aliens ever get this album and they were to play it, maybe they may not hear the words, but maybe they can feel the vibrations. So what they did was they got both of these albums together and they put it on a spaceship called Voyager Golden Record, and they launched it out in space. There was a great scientist named Carl Sagan. He was a part of this. He's a great scientist. And he also said, if we launch this out in space, it is a great chance that it may land on a planet, and if it land on a planet, the aliens may find it, but the spacecraft may not find them. But he also says that if they find it, they're going to have to find out how to play it. This is what he says. Now, there was a man. Now we talk about the scientist. Now let's talk about the author. Maybe the authors know. There was an author, and I read his book. His name is Michael Walls. He's a PhD. He wrote a book called Out There. Now, in his book, he says that there is a possibility that there is aliens on life, other planets out there. He said, if there are out there, they're billions, quadrillions, gazillions of miles away from us, and they can't get to us, and we can't get to them. He also says that maybe they're in another dimension that we can't get transfer on over to. He also says that man's life is so corrupted that maybe they don't want to interfere with us. So they said maybe they just want to stay away. So now let's talk to the government. Maybe the government knows something. Now y'all know for years our government has been doing radioactive germ testings, just to, and they also hire outside contractors for aerodynamic and plane testings and all that. So you probably see these lights in the sky and these things flying, zipping across and you see these lights and all that. And then when you ask them, say, hey, we believe these are aliens flying over this city. Did y'all have anything to do with this? And what's the first thing they're going to say? No, we didn't. But they do hire Boeing and Tesla and some of these other companies to do things for them. Now, did y'all not know, and I'm going to share this with you all. On August the 7th, 1994, in the town of Oakville, Washington, at 3 a.m., this is true, that it began to rain. Not only did it begin to rain, but it began to rain a gel type. And then it rained a gel type organism. And when it rained gel type organism, some of the people said that their dogs got sick and died. Some of the cats got sick and died. Some of the people were going to the hospital nauseated with can't breathe right, when their eyes were being puffy. And when they done testing of this gel organism, come to find out, they found that it was a white blood cells that fell from the sky. Now, you know it don't rain white blood cells. They sent it to a biologist, and come to find out years later, they asked the military, they said, did y'all have anything to do with this? And they said, no, we didn't. But come to find out several years after that, they were actually was doing weapons of mass destruction on the people in the small town. They were doing an experimental thing over them. This is true. Well, let's ask Mr. Know-It-All. Y'all know people that know it all? You can't tell Mr. Know-It-All everything because he know it all. You know, I mean, he'll actually over-talk you and over-speak you. They just know it all. Their words are better than yours. You don't know enough. So I asked a guy at my job. This is years ago. I asked him at my job, and he says, I said, hey, man, do you believe that there's something out there? We was getting religious about things. I said, do you believe there's something out there? He says to me, he said, well, I believe God wouldn't create this world with a universe of just us alone. I believe this universe is so big that there is something out there. We just don't know about it. I said, okay, well, Mr. Know-It-All. And I didn't even argue with him because he just knows it all. So now y'all want my opinion? Now after I give my opinion, I'm going to ask you all, and then we're going to get the truth. We're going to get the truth through all this. So y'all want my opinion? Okay, I'm going to give you three of my opinions. Now, I'm going to say something to you all. Don't quote me on this. Don't quote me. Don't say, Michael, you said this out of the book. No, don't quote me on this. I will say this only to you all. I will not say this in front of an agnostic or an atheist person. I will not say that. All right? Three of my opinions. The first one is, since God is God, and we ain't going to argue with that, right? We know God is God. Since God is God, could there have been a you before there was a you? Could there have been a universe before there was a universe? Mitch, how many times you been married? This is your first marriage, right? Second marriage? Could there have been a you before there was a you? Could there have been... Mitch, this could have been your 10th marriage. This could have been your 15th marriage, because there could have been a universe before there was a universe, before there was a universe, before there was a universe. God could have just wiped our minds of it, and we have no clue at all, and just started over again. And they didn't get it right this time. Let's start over again. Let's start over. We don't know. It's just my possibility, y'all. It's my opinion. The second opinion is that since God is God, could it be, let's say our universe is way in the corner over here. Could there be another universe billions, quadrillions, gazillions miles away with a planet where there's plants that walk, plants that can talk? Could there be? Could there be fish that can chew gum? Could there be people with pumpkins on their heads? Who knows? Could there be? Possibility. No. Now, keep in mind, when God created the angels, God did create an angel with four heads. He created an angel with a head of a man, an ox, an eagle, and a lion. That's my possibility. Now, don't quote me on this. The third thing is, now this is my last one, I'm gonna move on. The third thing is, could it be, you all, that we have, within our solar system, we have planets? Could it be that all of our planets were once fallen worlds? Could it have been that there was on Mars, Jupiter's, there were once life that did exist on there. Because they disobeyed God, God actually destroyed it, like he did in the flood. Man has sinned and fallen against God. So what did God do? God destroyed the world with what? Water. Could it be that all the worlds were once created with people and humans on there, and they were once destroyed? Could it be? Now, if my son asked me, said, Dad, why didn't God just create, and which I thought was a good idea, why didn't God just take all the planets and create something different on there? Why didn't he could have created a planet of the apes? That would have been cool. He could have created a world where there's water and called it Jurassic Park. He could have created a world where there's nothing but insects on there. He could have created a world where there's just humans and called it world just humans. Why did he create all these different animals and all these different animals and put them on this planet? Why did he do that? And the reason is, God wanted to create a balance. Now get this, when I say this, get this. I went to the store the other day and to buy my son a fish tank. So I got the fish tank in there, and I got the stuff for it. I got the rocks, and got the food and everything. I was doing real good. So when I put a couple fish in there, and they were swimming around, and then, as you know, my son said, Dad, can we have some more fish? I said, yeah, I'll go get some fish. I got some more fish and put more in there, and got some more, put some more in it. It looked good, and, you know, we just put a whole bunch of fish in there. Then come to find out we had 10 fish in there. It was looking good. But all of a sudden, several days go by, and all of a sudden, the fish tank began to look ugly. It began to kind of look like feces and mold, and all that stuff, fungus began to grow. And I told my son, I said, oh, we got to get one more thing. We got to go get some algae eaters to eat the algae off there to kind of put them in the fish tank. We put them in the fish tank and begin to eat the algae on there. See, God had to do it just to create a balance. We need the bees. We need the fish. We need those things in order to create a balance. That's why he put us all here together. You ever notice that on when it comes to the ark, God has always told the animals to come with man. Always told that. Man has always been with animals. So, all right. Now, since I said all that, I've proved to y'all that I'm crazy. I need help. So, let me ask y'all a question. Do you believe there's something out there? If you want to answer, that's fine, but you say no, there's nothing out there. Anybody else want to? If you don't know, you just, hey, I just don't know. If you ain't been out in space, you ain't got the. Now, let me say this before I go on. I'm going to give you the truth in just a minute. This is what we know. This is the truth. Now, if aliens did come to Earth, you know what we would do? This is exactly what we would do. We would capture them, question them, study them, beat them, torture them, dissect them, kill them, and go to war with the rest of them. That's exactly what we would do. You're right, Brother Gloria. So here's the truth. This is the truth, y'all. This is what we know. The truth is, there was something, and listen to me, y'all. There was something that came from the outer galaxies. It actually passed through the Milky Way. It came through the planets, through the stars, and it came through Earth's atmosphere. And when it entered into Earth's atmosphere, it came in like a bright light. And when it came in like a bright light, and it curled through the clouds, and the clouds whirled through, and it came through, and it didn't crash land, but it landed, and when it came to earth, it actually took on a human form. And when it took on a human form, he called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God is among us. And he came to stay. And you remember I said, what would we do if aliens come here? We'd do the same thing we did to Jesus. We will capture him. We will question him. We will study him, and they watch him. We will beat him. We will torture him. We will dissect him. I mean, they plucked his beard. They pissed him in the side. And we killed him. And guess what we did? We went to war with all the rest of them. So as far as we know, y'all, as far as the Bible, there is nothing else out there. If there is something out there, y'all, the only thing that's out there is microorganisms. That's the only living microorganism. That's the only thing that's out there. If there was something out there, don't you think God would have told us that? He will eliminate that question long time ago. Long time ago. Now let me say this. The Bible says, and I love, the Bible says that when God created light, God said, and it was so. When God created the firmament, God said it was good, it was so. When God created the earth, he said it was so. When God created the trees and the plants, God said it was good. Each time that God spoke something and it came into being, God commented. He said it was good. He commented on everything he did. Now, Minister Brown done an excellent job when she talked about John the Baptist and Andrew introducing them to Jesus. But did you not know that when John the Baptist spoke out and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who come and take away the sins of the world," John the Baptist commented on the work of Christ. He never been to the cross physically, but John the Baptist commented on something that he was about to do. The Bible says that when John the Baptist baptized Jesus and Jesus went down and came up, the Bible says that there was a dove came down and there was a voice that came out. And it says, "Behold, my beloved son, whom I am well pleased with." Jesus had not done nothing yet. He had not turned water to wine, but God commented it. He had not healed the lame, but God commented it. He had not caused the blind to see, but God commented it. "I am well pleased." Before he ever forgave sin, God commented it. Before he done anything else, he never went to the cross and died, but God commented it. That tells me one thing. Nothing that God does and nothing God does, says, or God speaks goes without recognition. You better recognize him. Right. Nothing goes without recognition. Didn't he wake you up this morning? You better recognize. Didn't he keep you last night? You better recognize him. Didn't he put food on your table? You better recognize him. Oh, didn't he? Before you go to surgery, you better recognize him. During your surgery, you better recognize, "I am God and God alone." After your surgery, you better recognize, "Oh, God is good." Yeah. Nothing goes without recognition. Yeah. Nothing. Right. Did he forgive you of your past, present, and future sins? You better recognize. Before you go to court, you better recognize. After your court, you better recognize who he is. He is God and God alone. Oh, you better recognize. Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me? Tell him that I am, that I am." He better recognize who I am. Tell him. Oh, God is good. Didn't he put the devil under your feet? Oh, you better recognize. Maybe I should have called this message, "You better recognize." Nothing goes without recognition. Oh, for his grace and mercy, you better recognize. Didn't he forgive you of your sins? Oh, you better recognize. You better recognize. Woo! God is good. Took care of you when you were diabetic. God is good. Healed people of cancer. God is good. When you were sick, God is good. You could have died in that car accident. You better recognize. Before you go to your work, recognize him. During your hours of that work, recognize him. After you leave that job, recognize him. Before you get the job, recognize him. During your course of your years on that job, and God is putting you in a position that you shouldn't be in, you better recognize. Oh, God is good. Woo! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Nothing goes without recognition. Before we eat one bit of a snack, we better recognize Christ. Thank you, Father, for giving me this day. Thank you for giving me this food. Thank you. Oh, man. I'm thanking God for his pre-work. Oh, it's almost time to get out of here. Oh, it's good when the Spirit takes over. He has his way. Oh, let us pray. I'm about to lose my voice. Eternal God, Lord, we just thank you. Allowing your word to go forth, Father. Touch those that are in need of you, Father. Those that need you today, Father. Right now, Father, if there's anyone...